You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Let's take a closer look at the Olympics, particularly the way they're being covered. Joanne Gerstner is the sports journalist in residence at Michigan State University. She's covered the Olympics, the World Cup, the Stanley Cup Finals, the Final Four, so much more. Joanne Gerstner, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you so much.
Most of us, I dare say, Joanne, watching the Olympics, we're doing it in the evening during NBC's primetime coverage. Because if you're working during the day, as I found, it's really hard to keep tabs on the events that they're carrying live. So you're a teacher and a veteran sports journalist. How would you grade that primetime coverage that we're getting of the Rio Olympics from NBC?
It honestly drives me crazy. So my grade would not be too high because I actually, you know, as a person who is a sports fan, but obviously someone who has a deeper interest as a sports journalist, I want to see the sports. I don't want to see what kind of Christmas ornaments an athlete has on their tree. I don't think NBC has done a particularly great job. And if you look at their ratings, they're dramatically down. Now, if you're NBC, they're going to argue, well, people aren't watching as much during prime time because they're live streaming it through our services. So we actually have the same audience, they're just in different places. I literally have not run into anyone that said, wow, I love NBC's coverage prime time. Everyone's like, what is this?
I'm seeing.
And if you're lucky enough, if you're lucky enough to be in Metro Detroit, you can watch the CBC, so you really see the difference.
It's funny, John Bacon just said that as we talked. He said, hey, everybody, CBC, there you go. Well, I have to say, in the defense of NBC, how much of what isn't working is just due to the sheer logistics of so many events and time zone issues?
They have no time zone issues in that it's 1 hour difference from Eastern. I mean, when I was in Beijing, it was literally we were covering events at, you know, at night that were going to air, you know, at 7 o'clock in the morning in Eastern time zone. So this time zone is actually super NBC friendly. The issue is that we live in a live society. You know, we're getting alerts on our phone about, you know, Simone Biles just won a gold medal or
at
whatever.
At 2 in the afternoon, right?
Yeah. Right. So you kind of, you know, I mean, the whole spoiler alert thing. I mean, I know there's some people that turn off and don't want to know, but it's like we can't avoid it. And we live in a live streaming, live news culture. So to act like nobody knows and build the suspense and show the gymnastics at 11:57 at night, it's not very satisfying. And I will go from a more, I guess, a worldview. We're just showing the American athletes. I would like to see the athlete who maybe finished in 19th place, but she's the first female athlete from her country ever to compete in the Olympics. And this finish is not only a personal accomplishment, but it might change how many women in future generations come and compete in the Olympics because they saw her do that in Rio.
Well, should an American network be expected to be spending time and money and resources covering athletes who aren't Americans? I mean, I guess I wonder, is New Zealand Sky Sports covering Americans?
Well, I just refer back to the CBC. If you watch their coverage, they cover the Canadians, but they also mention there's other countries in the Olympics. And that's kind of an interesting thing because we are such a multicultural society. So many of us come from different places. We might have different rooting interests than all USA all the time. And look, I totally get you cover the home team, but there are other people in the Olympics. I mean, the only way you get real coverage from being out of the country is if you're Usain Bolt or somebody that is so omnidominant that they're beyond a country. They're almost their own, you know, their own city state onto themselves with their athletic talent. But the Olympics are more than who gets the medals. It's about, you know, the triumph, the agony, the all the people that toil in obscurity. Now, again, I can tell you what NBC will say. Well, that's why we have our online services. If you want to watch archery and you want to watch the whole thing and geek out, then that's for you. Okay, that's fair enough. But I think that's why the dissatisfaction with the prime time coverage comes from different places. NBC has a multifaceted problem. But the biggest problem that I can see, both from the media coverage, from what people are talking about, was their whole thing is that women watch the prime time more than men, and women may not be sports fans, so they want to have the reality show and the drama. And that's actually what NBC Sports said before the Olympics of how they're going to cover things. Well, I don't know who those women are that want, you know, the Real Housewives of Rio. I mean, that's not what this is. I don't need Ryan Seacrest. I don't need some of the stuff. Show me what's going on. Like beach volleyball. What could have been better drama than that last night?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
Did not need any embellishment.
I in fact, that quote that you cite from NBC's chief marketing officer, John Miller, is saying women are less interested in the result and more interested in the journey. It's the ultimate reality show and miniseries wrapped into one. Now, I will say this. I could have gone the rest of my life without seeing Jenna Bush Hager and Hoda Kotb slathering coconut oil on the Taekwondo athlete from Tonga. That's a given. But don't we get to care more about the athletes in the sports that we typically might not follow by getting those narrative packages, those journeys to the game? I mean, I got to say, I think unless you're super into gymnastics, how many of the millions of people watching really knew Simone Biles' name until we all fell in love with her while we were watching her at the Olympics?
Well, that, but again, I guess my question would be is how many people that are interested in watching gymnastics are truly that far in the dark that they have no idea who Simone Biles is? Because she's been the most dominant gymnast in the world for the last 3 years. And if you at all, you know, had a passing interest, you knew. Now, I agree, some people don't know, and it's good to refresh. And I'm fine with that, but there are other gymnasts in the Olympics, like the woman that was 41 years old and doing some of the hardest tricks.
Yes.
Tell me about her. You know, if you really want to go through this whole, we're catering our coverage toward women that aren't sports fans necessarily. I think there's a lot of us out there that want to hear how a 41-year-old woman is competing against 16-year-olds and is respected by all of them because she's that awesome. That would be a heck of a story.
I agree with you. As you've watched, Joanne Gerstner, what have been the biggest surprises to you or maybe some of your personal favorite moments or least favorite moments?
A few things. You know, obviously the U.S.'s dominance in the pool was just absolutely unexpected and great. And, you know, we all knew Michael Phelps was going to be the story, win or lose. But to actually to see him come through and be that potent of a force, you know, he's been in the Olympics since 2000. Mm-hmm. So to have that kind of a run where the sport is always getting faster and younger, that was amazing. Katie Ledecky. Obviously, she's you know, I hate the term the female Michael Phelps. As Katie Ledecky said, I'm Katie Ledecky.
And so did Simone Biles. I'm the first Simone Biles. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, you know, and Simone Biles and the gymnastics team. For me, and selfishly speaking, as someone who played tennis, you know, at a college level and loves tennis, I had so much joy watching the Olympic tennis, seeing these guys. You know, and female players who by this time in the year are on their 20th tournament of the year really gut it out because they want to represent their country. You know, and seeing Juan Martín Del Potro crying for Argentina and Monica Puig winning the first medal ever for Puerto Rico by a woman and just, seeing all these tweets, you know, from Lin-Manuel Miranda and J-Lo and all these, you know, people that are proud Puerto Ricans saying, oh, my gosh, thank you. You've made us cry. That's the power of the Olympics. That I enjoy more than watching, frankly, the U.S. men's basketball team sleepwalk through the tournament. There actually, it's been covered a little bit in the media, but not too much. There is a fan. She's a woman from Iran, and she is sitting in the stands of every single Iranian men's volleyball match, holding up a sign in Farsi and in English saying, let women sit in the stands. Oh. Because apparently the Iranian government changed the rules recently, not allowing women to be fans in the stands of men's athletic events. And she is, you know, basically, you know, an activist. And they tried to throw her out of the last men's volleyball match because apparently the Olympics does not allow any signs of political nature, and she refused to leave. She basically did a sit-in, and people came to her aid and said, hey, you know, that's not cool. But the amazing thing was the AP actually did a story on it. The first volleyball match she sat in, she was openly crying in the stands because she said that that's been her dream, because she loves volleyball, that she had to come to Rio to be able to see the Iranian men play.
Wow.
And so things like that are pretty cool. But like you see that, it's like, oh, my gosh, how privileged am I as an American woman? I can just walk in anything I want and watch it. This woman literally could, you know, have her life ended because she wants to go see a stupid volleyball match in Tehran. You know, I know NBC is a tough challenge, and I know a lot of people that work at NBC, and they're hardworking, ethical, fantastic journalists that have been just killing themselves in some pretty tough conditions in Rio. So I look at it both ways, but the Olympics are cool. And, you know, there's a reason we love it, and there's a reason the media pays a lot of money to show it. But, you know, some of the coverage this year has been curious, and especially the backlash on social media about athletes and their bodies and what people think. I mean, that's been kind of sad to watch. So I don't know. That's kind of the downside to me of the Olympics right now.
Joanne Gerstner is Michigan State University sports journalist in residence. Her upcoming book is Back in the Game, Why Concussion Doesn't Have to End Your Athletic Career. Joanne, it was great talking with you. Thank you so very much.
Anytime. Thank you so much.
And there were watching parties in Flint today as hometown favorite Claressa Shields began defending her Olympic gold medal in boxing. Shields had her first fight, and she swept the scorecards as she beat Russian fighter Yaroslava Yakushina in the women's middleweight quarterfinals. She moves on to the semis, fighting Duriga Sharikamova of Kazakhstan on Friday. Shields hasn't lost a fight since she won gold in London. She's won two world championships and a Pan American Games title.